Hi there, this is Wafala Bedat. You're listening to the Woman Power Podcast, a subsidiary platform to the Woman Power Summit, the largest event in MENA, with the aim of empowering women and helping them achieve their absolute highest potential. Each week on the Woman Power Podcast, you will hear honest, vulnerable, authentic, real conversations from inspiring women. These women will share their experiences and stories into what it takes to build a successful business and career. The podcast will share insight and inspiration and hopefully inspire action and lead change. Reem Khanj is the CEO and co-founder of Ego and East, a talent management company founded in 2016, representing some of the most exciting names on YouTube and Instagram in the MENA region. Reem previously worked as a blogger for 8 years, which gave her ample insight into fashion and business. She's also known as an environmental influencer, sharing environment-friendly causes and tips on maintaining a sustainable and plant-based lifestyle. Welcome, Reem.
I remember you from London days when I had Sketchbook and you had 5-5 Fabulous, and that was ages ago. And
I feel like
I look 10 years older because I had a baby, and I literally feel like it aged me, and you like anti-age, like you look like you're 22. I think you've never looked better. So I want to start off with just your whole lifestyle of like minimalism and comfort and basic in a good way. Like, how did you get here? It used to be more brand oriented and layering and like winter, and now it's like super LA. So I just want to understand, you know, how has that shift happened?
Well, firstly, thank you so much for the really lovely compliment. I agree with you. I feel like I stepped back in time, but obviously if you know me and if anyone listening has followed my personal journey, then they would have known that I had like a huge life change when I moved to Dubai. It was because I was getting away from a marriage and I was in the process of getting a divorce, and I had been with my ex-husband for a really long time. And during that time, it was kind of like the peak of youth, I would say. So my whole 20s. And I never really understood living life or going out and meeting people and having fun with friends. I was just always working like 24/7 in London, packing my days with a really full schedule every single day, getting on pack tubes, going into Central, like slamming out these meetings, going back home, going, you know, like in London, it's a completely different lifestyle. It drains you. So I left and I moved to Dubai in 2017. And I feel like this is where I really started to journey into discovering who I was. And it's been quite a fun ride, but I'm happy to say that I feel like I've figured out a really nice balance. You know, yes, okay, so I used to think about brands all the time, layer. And actually, when I was in London, even before I was moving, I went through this phase of just receiving so many things from brands. Like as an influencer, or back then I was a blogger, as a blogger, you would just get sent packages on packages every single day, things I would never ask for, things that, you know, were lovely. And anyone listening might be like, you sound so lucky, like, why are you complaining? But it gave me this sense of, we don't need this stuff. And this is a lot of waste. I was throwing out cardboard boxes, plastic, so many big unnecessary displays for like one tiny lipstick. And it just started to grind on me. And then I would open up my cabinets and I'm like, I have 45 red lipsticks. I don't even wear red lipstick. And I started clearing everything out, giving everything to charity, inviting my friends over, telling them, go ham, you know, like choose whatever you want. It's your day, like get anything you want. And I created this mindset of, I want to start living with less. So I just, you know, minimalism now for me is just a really important way of life. I think it's important to live with less. Our consumerism has gone through the roof. And for me personally, I just like to make these little changes. And I feel like it's seeped into my personal life as well, not just my profession or what I'm trying to preach online. Like even in my bedroom, I got rid of all my furniture. I have like nothing in here but my bed and one table from with where my phone charges. I don't want to see things. I don't want to display things. I don't want to celebrate things. I just want to kind of remember what is important in every moment. Maybe that has a part to play in why I look young. I don't know, but yeah, I think my mindset just kind of went from this super fast-paced way of living into like more of a slow be in the moment, recognize where I am and appreciate everything I have.
So when I've definitely seen that transformation, and I think one thing that I really admire is you've set a bunch of non-negotiables, which is so interesting because, you know, coming from like a lifestyle where it's like super hustly, you know, let's take every opportunity and make something out of it, into like, no, that doesn't work with me. That doesn't align with my values. And I stand for these things now. So everything else that doesn't align, just I'll walk away from, like with love, right? Like not like with resentment or bitterness. Or so I want to understand, how did you get into a place where you could start saying no, knowing that it will lead to better things? And not because I'm going to say no to all these things, but will anybody stick around? Like, will the right brands find me? Will the right clients find me? Will the right partners find me? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I think if we're discussing in terms of me as an influential, I never call myself an influencer because I don't, that's not what I do. If I have influence, I'm happy to have it. But recognizing the fact that I have this influence has impacted my decisions on what I do, because I'm not going to promote something that I wouldn't want my 14-year-old cousin to do, because I understand who is watching on social media. Grown women can make their own decisions, but we have a lot of like young eyes on us. And I just want to make sure that what I'm preaching is something that I would want my own daughter to be proud of, I guess, or align with. So I think it was easy for me because I transitioned into owning a business and representing the talent. So I didn't necessarily need the income from brand partnerships. So it was way easier to say, no, I'm not interested. Like, I'm not going to do it just for the money, because I don't need the money. I've got money coming in from my main job. And then when you have these super non-negotiable morals, like for me, for example, like being vegan or plant-based, it's easy to turn down a collaboration with a skincare brand that tests on animals. That's super easy. I will not do it. Or clothing, for example, I boycotted Zara like 2.5 years ago. I still can't believe I managed to last this long. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. Every time I walk past, I'm like, maybe just one little vest up. But then I'm like, no fast fashion. So if, again, a brand gets in touch that doesn't align with what I believe a brand should be doing at this stage of our lives for our generation and the future generations, then I just won't be paid to promote it. It's kind of easy for me. I have these deal breakers. And I think when you understand your worth, and this goes across the board, not just in business, but in love, in friendship, in everything, when you understand what you're worth, you're never going to regret saying no, because it just opens you up to more expansion. And you're telling the universe or God or whatever you want to call it, you're telling them, I'm turning this down because I know I'm worth what I really want. So it kind of becomes a little bit easier, I guess, when fear is taken out of the equation. But to be honest, I used to say, before I started Ego Niece, and I know we'll probably get into that, when I was a blogger and I was getting deals that my peers who had way more followers than me weren't getting, they would say like, no offense, but how are you getting such a high amount for you when I'm 3 times bigger than you and I'm getting paid like a third? I tell them like, well, I simply say I'm not doing it for any less. And if they don't want it, it's fine. But because you're fearful of losing it, you're accepting it. And then how are they ever going to see your worth? So, yeah.
It's huge. I think that's huge. Like, and I feel that, you know, there's an abundance mentality there that is so amazing. I think just learning to say no and walking away is definitely like a challenge. Every startup or every freelancer or every content creator or every independent entrepreneur will face, right? So like, and I watch you do that, like just be really curated. And I do find that really courageous and brave. And you know, I think it kind of filters out of what you're doing and to everyone who's following you. I feel like you kind of do that unconsciously. You give us all a little bit of strength to walk away from things that we don't believe in.
I'm happy to hear that. Thank you.
I'd love to talk about ego and ease. I know we're going to get to it, but I'll get to it now just because you brought it up. So having a startup is not easy. I know that you had like a t-shirt business much earlier on, if I'm not mistaken. And then,
oh my God, yeah, you're talking about ancient times.
I know, so. I remember. Yeah, that's, let's go back to the beginning. And then we have, I think the blog was also a startup on its own. And here you are again, like with a new startup. Can you tell me about what those earlier days were like for Ego and Ease? And also, so many people try to start and launch talent management firms and fail. Why do you feel Ego and Ease has found, you know, found its wings, basically?
Okay, so Ego and Ease has been going now since 2016, and it's run by my sister Natalia and I. We're a very small team of four women. My sister and I are based in Dubai. We have someone based in the UK and someone based in between Paris and Lisbon. So it's a really lovely team. And yes, I would consider it. I don't know if I'd consider it a startup still. However, when it was a startup, for me and Nat, it was kind of second nature. The only thing we really needed to do was understand admin and make sure that our organization was super on point, because we went from managing, I went from managing myself as a blogger to now having to manage 2, 3, 4, 5 different talents. So just making sure that what I would apply to myself, I'm applying to these individuals and never messing up on their deadlines or whatever the case was. And I think coming as a blogger who started off in 2009, that's 3 years in to the existence of blogging. So you couldn't ask for a better time to have this experience, because I think it was like Susie Bubble. You remember Susie? Yeah. And you know, all of these girls. Yeah, she's amazing. She's still going, like, amazing. Coco's Tea Party. I remember all of my peers back then. Like, we were the first kind of wave. And back then it was so different. And you were blogging about, I was blogging about fashion news. And that's how I would get top rankings on Google, because I would be able to write a post quicker than, let's say, Vogue, and get it up on the internet quicker. And, you know, they were still working differently and blogging was super instantaneous. And then I saw it develop into social media by having the support of like tweeting about your articles. And then Instagram came along. And then after that, you started to realize that people now want to see you. They don't really care about the text. They want to see photos. So I had to adapt into, okay, we're no longer doing news. We're now showing me and my outfits and me and Natalia and our travels or whatever. So I've literally been in it since the beginning and saw the different waves. Now, when I look at it, blogging doesn't exist and everything is about social media. And it's gone from that, you know, super instantaneous fashion article to a 15 second video. And then I want another 15 second video. Like, everything is now super fast, super quick. You can't keep up. But I think having that knowledge and firsthand experience as the talent aided us to be able to do what we do so well. And we've seen it too. There have been many companies that have started and failed and started again. And like, we wish them all the best and there's room for everyone. But I feel like Ego and Ease has a je ne sais quoi, just literally because Natalia and I know what we're talking about. We've lived it. We have grown with the industry as it has developed. And you can't really pay a price for that knowledge.
Do you ever get imposter syndrome? So you're sitting there like negotiating a contract or like talking about legal or, you know, or you're negotiating on behalf or representing somebody and you're like, what am I doing? Is this even right? Like, is this the right decision? Or do you feel like it feels second nature and you really like cruising?
Oh, I'm like so into it. It's definitely second nature. I could be doing like one of the biggest deals we've ever done for one of the biggest campaigns that the region has ever seen was done while my sister called me. I had just landed in Athens and I was on my way to Mykonos. And I was helping her figure out the rate of what we should charge for. And I was in a cab, or not even a cab. I was with the driver, and she was like in Dubai having a coffee. And we're able to like do this from two different sides of the planet during a pandemic. And it's just like nothing. You don't need an office. You don't need to have like a set kind of like system in place. Like it just comes so naturally to both of us. But yeah, for sure. There are times where we're like, what are we doing? Like, are these numbers real? I'm like putting them into my calculator. I'm like, how? It's crazy. This industry is crazy, but you have to just roll with the punches and just see how far you can go.
How do you choose who you represent? Again, going back to like non-negotiables and just like the way you curate things, whether it's the furniture in your room or the brands that you wear or who you represent. I feel like everything is super thoughtful, like you're definitely being mindful of decisions you're making. And I'm sure you're being bombarded by two things. One is brands wanting to endorse talent that you're representing, but also influencers who are like, represent me, right? So like, how do you figure that part out? Like, I'm gonna park this, or that's not gonna serve me or serve anybody? Or how do you kind of make those decisions on a daily basis when there's like a bombardment of information coming at you?
We are all about substance at Ego and East. We don't want to represent someone whose aim is to purely be famous for no reason or just get a bunch of likes and comments. Like, we want someone who stands for something, has a story, or feels like they could develop into that. Someone who has substance is the most important thing. And we don't really have set limits on how many followers someone should have. We started off by representing two of the largest at the time, influencers from Kuwait, and they were in the millions. So our first experience into talent management was working with people with millions of followers, therefore hundreds upon hundreds of requests every day from brands. So we kind of were thrown into the deep end, and we learned how to manage an actual celebrity, which was a wonderful experience for us. But we represent people with like 2,000 followers, as long as we think that they are doing something that is adding value to the internet, because let's face it, there is so much bullshit out there, then we're happy to represent them and have them on our deck. Now, choosing them, we scout. The way we like to sign people is by us approaching them. We get approached on a daily basis, even with people with millions of followers. And I am ashamed to say that it takes a really long time for us to even respond to them, because if we're not looking for you, then you're not on our radar. But eventually we do, and we figure out if we're going to sign them on or not. And the first kind of period working together is always on a probation period. We do a 3-month probation where we see what it's like to work with the individual. And Natalia and I have been doing this for so long now that we've got two labels. One is energy drainers and one is energy givers. And if you're a drainer, you're out. I'm not dealing with it. I don't care how much money you could make me. I don't care how much money I could make you. I don't care how famous you are. If you drain my energy, if you're a pain in the ass to work with, if you have a bad reputation, if you show up late, if you don't respond, I'm just not dealing with it. Maybe when, you know, Ego and East, when we grow and scale our business eventually, which we really need to do soon, when we start building a workforce and, you know, I have a team in place who I'm employing to handle talent on a daily basis, then maybe they can deal with it and it's not so bad. But I've reached a point in my career, I've been in this industry for over a decade, where I'm just not going to deal with it. It's just not worth my happiness. So we're very, very strict on the energy that someone brings into Ego and East more than the prospect of income.
It's no secret that over and over again, we're constantly getting stuck in our careers, which is probably why you're listening to this podcast. You could be stuck or demotivated or uninspired, and you don't know who to go to for questions or for connections or someone who's been there, done that, which is why we're building an exciting platform called Playbook. Playbook uses the power of storytelling by game-changing women to help you hack your life, both personally and professionally. We're building a resourceful community where you can find the answers to all your questions from mentors and diverse women that are all trying to figure out the ins and outs of their careers. You can be a part of our story from the very beginning and create and build your legacy with us by becoming a founding member. For a one-time fee of $500, you get a bunch of perks, such as lifetime access to our platform, an official founding member certificate that you can share on LinkedIn, and a testimonial for your LinkedIn page, plus 20 scholarships in your name to girls and women from different parts of the world who unfortunately don't have access to the education they need. Check out our website, www.getplaybook.com, to learn more about how you can be a founding member of our platform.
Can you tell me about a time, without mentioning names, where you've had to walk away from somebody, and like, what did you learn from that experience? Other than what you just mentioned. So like, I love your non-negotiables. I don't know. I think it's because I'm such a people pleaser. So I'm just like, I think you're my alter ego, where it's like, universe, I do what Reema's doing, which is like, I'm sorry, this doesn't serve me. And you walk away. I'm always like, I will never walk away. Like, I will make this work. So I love that you do that. And I would love to learn from you about an experience where you walked away from a situation where it didn't serve you. Like, what triggered that? And what made you just be so sure of the decision you were making?
Honestly, when it comes to like, I just want to clarify, Egoanista is my sister and my company. So it's definitely a we thing, but I'm going to speak from a me perspective. But I'm not trying to denote Natalia from this at all. But from my perspective, if I become unhappy, I do this 24/7. Like, we give everything to this company and we're on call all the time. And that's part of the job. That's actually why I love it. We started this company based off of a bad experience with my own so-called manager in London. And I was like, you don't know what you're doing. If I was a manager, I'd be doing it like this, this, and this. And so that was one of our inspirations, was we could do it better. So I understand what this role takes. And it means that you have zero ego attached to it. You do not wish you were the talent that you were representing. You do not want what they want. You just want the best for them. So we're able to take our ego completely out of the scenario and take a person and make them famous and make them millions and make them happy. And not for one second do you ever think, oh, I wish it was me. So this is number one, I think. And in this day and age, it's hard to find like someone who doesn't want to be in that person's shoes. So if they tried to do the management thing, it might cross, you know, there'd be crossover and ego. So it's never a good recipe. But with Natalia and I, we understand what it takes. And what it takes is you're on call all the time. This isn't an industry where it's 9 to 5. Like, you have to post, something can go wrong, they need to call you, they want to cry, they want to bitch, they want to moan, like whatever it is, you're there. And that's the point. You're supposed to have this collective energy that you're putting into this to make it the most successful partnership ever. So when I am giving that to somebody, and for example, I'm trying to reach them to say, hey, I've got an interesting project, or hey, your deadline is due, where's the content? And they don't respond for several hours. That's wasting my time and energy. It's making me look bad in front of the brand, making them look bad. If they start moaning about teeny tiny details, like, oh, there was no one to collect my bags from the cab, I'm like, I don't care. What do you mean? Like, get your own bag, walk yourself. Don't bring that up to me. It's irrelevant. And in the big scheme of things, it means nothing. Once, twice, okay, fine. We'll make sure next time that there is someone there to get your bag, you know, that's fine. But if these little nags happen all the time and it's like turning into diva status, I'm not your girl. Like, you can hire someone in-house that will listen to that. I'm not here for that. We're here to like impress people, make sure that they're happy with you, make sure they want to work with you again and again and again, because that's what I'm here to do, is make you successful.
Have you ever had to like school somebody, like, okay, I'm gonna tell you how this is gonna work? Like, did you ever feel like I have to give you a little lecture, and then you find that they've respected that, or did it just go?
To be completely honest, thankfully that's only ever happened once, and when we explained like there are some things that are worth mentioning and there are some things that are not worth mentioning, they completely understood and it never happened again. What I, like I said, what I feel the most frustrated by is when it's repeated. And if I'm locked into a contract with someone and I can't drop them as a talent, that's when I get the most frustrated, because I physically become upset. If someone is just either ignoring or not responding or not doing the work on time or complaining, and then I have to then call and apologize on their behalf to a company or an agency or an individual who I've worked with for 10 years who knows me, I'm you're messing up my reputation at this point. And so it can be really tough. But again, we just say thank you so much, we wish you all the best, but peace out, you know. We're not doing this.
What is the dark side of talent management that nobody sees? So we talked a little bit about it, but is there like some things entrepreneurs should be made aware of if they're in the space or getting into the space or going to join a big firm? Like, this is the kind of the darkness no one talks about.
With social media or with talent?
With talent.
For me, on a personal level, is watching them compare themselves to others and seeing the pain that it can cause. And I'm looking at it from a place where I've thankfully not attached validation to social media. So when I see them attach so much validation to it, it pains me. Truly, it does, because I just think, no, it's okay. It's okay if this person got a project that you wanted, it's okay, but they take it so to heart. Or if one person is growing more than them, it doesn't matter. It means nothing. You're still relevant. You're still there. So to have to like see how much investment people put into their happiness via social media is difficult for me as who I am, because if I really broke it down, I'm an excellent businesswoman, but what I could do in terms of business is anything. I could apply my knowledge in business to running a coconut stand in Mexico and kill it. So for me, I'm not attached to this industry. I just feel like I seized an opportunity to make myself a success after not being able to get the job I wanted to become a fashion designer during an economic crisis. It was at the peak of social media and the height of the internet. So I just seized that opportunity. But is this something that I feel truly aligns with me? No, not 100%. So when I see the pain it can cause to like strong, confident, grown women and men, I'm like, oh God, there's a problem here.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I love that it seems to me like you've done a lot of self-reflection and work on yourself so you could separate or just like be really rooted as a person without all these external forces impacting who you are. What did you learn about yourself in business that you didn't know about yourself, and just like new skills that you've learned with ego and ease that you didn't have when you were a content creator?
To be honest, I feel like I'm way better at this than I was at the content stuff. I wish I could be a little bit better. I know I have a really lovely community, like a small, modest community on my Instagram who so sweetly request things all the time from me. Like, I really want to know what you eat or what you train or what your makeup is. And I'm like, okay, I read them, but I don't respond because I don't know how to give you that. I'm not the girl that's going to like do that often. So for me, being behind the scenes and being on the business side of things is definitely my forte. I absolutely love it. I think I'm really good at it. And I enjoy seeing things come to fruition. I get so much more joy from that than anything else. And I think what I've learned is that I can be really tough and I can inspire a lot of women. I'm happy that as a businesswoman, I've influenced a lot of the younger generation. So I think, yeah, just being tough and learning about how much I can handle, basically.
You've definitely had an eye for what was to come in this space, right? So you kind of were very quick to pick up on blogging and then the rise of social and then content creation. And what's next? Like, what should we be looking for in terms of like, what's the next wave that's coming?
In terms of social or the industry? Honestly, if you're not learning, at the very least learning, I'm not saying investing or getting into, but understanding and learning about the metaverse, NFTs and cryptocurrency, I think you're going to be thinking what just happened, because in a wave, like in a blink of an eye, it's going to be everywhere and you're not going to understand it. So for me, for the past 2-3 months, I've just been learning everything I can about crypto, NFTs and the metaverse, which by the way sounds like such a scary, random, weird thing, but it's just another word for the internet. But of course, like everything has layers and levels. So I think by defining it as the metaverse, we're able to associate it with a completely different side of things. It's no longer just YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. This is like a completely different level. So learning about this new wave for me is like my top priority right now. I have a call with my crypto guy like every week. I research about NFTs all the time. I haven't invested in any yet, but I'm always following interesting projects and seeing what's happening and following the news. So I think it's really important.
Egon E started out in 2016, and I'm sure your day-to-day in 2016 looks very different than your day-to-day today. So what has changed in terms of your progression as a leader and kind of where you put your time and how you prioritize your time as well?
Yeah. So like I said, we have a small team now, but that wasn't always in place. So now I'm able to delegate a lot more, and Natalia and I have found like a systematic way of working where we don't have to be the point of call for every single talent we represent, because we represent a lot and they all want us, but not everyone needs us. We have like our macro talents or our celebrity talents who need me and Natalia. Basically they only want to work with us. And then we have our micros and smaller talents who, you know, we're in the groups and we'll chime in sometimes, but they don't necessarily need to hear from us every single day. And this has been a really important move, because it just means that a lot of people who are in my life who aren't in the industry always tell me, you're always giving, like, when is there any piece left just for you? And I get it, because I give to my sister, my brother, my mom, my dad, most important people in my life. And then I have all my talents, and I'm always giving. I'm always available. My phone is never off. Like, we can never take time off, basically. Even when I travel, everyone's like, oh, I hope you're enjoying your vacation. I'm like, hey, to what vacation? Like, my phone is still going off, you know? So I think the more we grow, and inshallah, our plan is to definitely like build a bigger workforce, we can kind of take another step back, but not really back, just a different level. So yeah, that's it.
When I see what you post, I'm just like, wow, like she has the workforce. Cause I'm like, she's like, you know, working out, and there's just like, it feels like there's no interruption, and you look so calm and like, and then you're traveling, and I'm like, oh my God, amazing. She's able to like, you know, go from country to country. Like, I'm sure it's like all automated and delegated. And then it's like, and you're saying it's like the complete opposite. Like you're there just like, you know.
Yeah, we're always watching, we're always there, but thank God for Farah, thank God for Lena, our team, and they are amazing. I don't know what we do without them, so I can't wait to see what we can do with like three more. But yeah, in terms of stories, I know it seems like that, but I look at my stories sometimes and I'm like, okay, I posted in the morning when I went to the gym, and then I disappear. Like, that's it. You only see the gym story in the morning and then nothing else, because I literally don't have time. I'm not dressed. I'm not doing anything interesting. I'm just working.
How much time do you spend taking care of yourself? I know that you've just said you give so much of yourself to your work and your talents, and you prioritize a lot of people before yourself. There's a really good book, by the way, called Leaders Eat Last, though I don't know if it's endorsing this message, which is like, we're the hosts of the party. So like, you sit down last, you eat last, you take first. But I also do see content where you are like taking care of your skin and maybe cooking and really slowing down or staying in. So how much of your time is actually dedicated towards rest, recovery, rejuvenating, and just taking care of your body and your mind?
So I'm going to check out that book, by the way. I need a new one, so I'm going to definitely look for it. So I give myself 2 hours, let's say 4 hours in the morning, because I wake up 2 hours before I train to eat so I can digest before I train. And during that 2 hours, I cook. So I make my breakfast, I eat it. I try not to go on social media, but that doesn't really happen. And then I'll do 10 minutes of yoga, like sun salutations. And then I'll do like a hip mobility for 15 minutes or a hamstring stretch or something similar. And for the rest of the time, I just either read a couple of pages of a book I'm reading, or I like prep myself for the gym. And then I go to the gym, and my session is anywhere between 75 to 90 minutes. So that's like another 2 hours of no interruption. I don't check my phone. And then I'm done. And I'll either go and meet my sister and work with her from a wellness center next to the gym, which I love, or we'll come home. And I rarely take meetings. Like, I'm not a big meeting person unless it's absolutely necessary. COVID really taught me that, because just why were we doing that so much before? It could have been an email.
I agree. It can always be an email.
So we come home, and I cook every single day. I cook all my meals. And so that's me time, I would say. Like, cooking for myself is definitely an important part of my life. And working from home is a huge factor. So being at home in general, work, even when I'm working, feels like I'm getting me time. Even though, like, I'm on my phone, I'm answering emails, I'm listening to 5 minute unnecessary voice notes, like whatever it is, we're doing things, but I'm in my PJ, like I don't get dressed, I don't wear makeup, I don't do anything. So I feel like that's my way of balancing. Obviously, when we grow our company, inshallah, like, we're, you know, our hope is to have like a dedicated place where we work. I want to say office, but I hate the word. But yeah, like a space where we work from.
Like, I'm so against offices. Like, I'm over offices. Yeah. Meetings and staff meetings, and like, I haven't been to the office in 3 years. I feel so comfortable, and I guess also for me, just being really close to my son is important, just to have like that access, or just to hear him play the next
room. Yeah, amazing.
So what is next for Reem? Is this it? Is Ego and Ease your next kind of 5-year quest, 7-year quest? Like, can you see past that, or is that now what you're focused and like laser kind of focusing on? Or is there like a secret dream that you want to do or have other than your coconut stall? We know that the coconut stall in the picture, but there's something you'd love to do after you go and ease.
Yeah, there is. Look, I said already that it's not 100% in alignment with my soul. And I've only just kind of realized that lately, because I've been doing a lot of work on myself. I do this thing called The Pathway. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's by Lacey Phillips, and it's a workshop. Yeah, write it down. it's actually called To Be Magnetic. I discovered it last December when I was going through a really bad breakup, and I was at a very low self-worth time in my life. And I discovered this workshop called The Pathway, and basically it's based on how to manifest from a neural point of view. So not from like a floofy point of view where you just sit on a beach in Bali and say, I am this, I am that. Like, that didn't work for me. But this is more like you actually have to go deep into your soul and reprogram childhood trauma to get over it, basically, and heal childhood trauma, which, by the way, if anyone is interested in magnetism and manifesting and all of that stuff, and you haven't linked it to childhood trauma, you're missing a huge thing. So this workshop basically allowed me to delve into my history, my past, and it just taught me so much. I reprogrammed so much. It helps you define your authentic code. And every time I would write things down, fame was never in there. Social media was never in there. Money was never in there. It was always like spirituality, the planet, like number one, home, family, you know, authentic things that make me happy. And this industry, I've given it a lot. I feel I've given it over a decade. I'm going to be 35 like in a couple of weeks, and I'm happy to give it like another 5 years. That's fine. But do I want to stay in it forever? Definitely not. So for me,
yeah, so you're hinting, tell us the plan, Liam.
I would like to eventually take a step back from Ego and East and move to a country where I can be surrounded by nature. Dubai is an amazing city for a young entrepreneur. Wow, like I could not recommend another city or country more important to base yourself from, and it has given me so much, so I will always love it. And I think it's a great base, especially when you're young and single and you can travel the world like from Dubai. Wow, it's amazing. But for me, I crave like hiking and mountains, and I just want to see that every day. So eventually I don't want to live in a city. I want to live somewhere in the country and just have kids and spend all my time with them and raise them and teach them. And just my dream, my ultimate dream, and I said this years ago, my sister copied it, so if you guys ever hear her talking about it, know who said it first. I would honestly love to have like a sustainable, cute little cafe and a florist. Like I want a florist and I want a cafe, and I just want to like see people every day.
Reem, can I ask you something? So sometimes I feel like when we close our eyes, we see snippets of what's to come. Mm-hmm. Do you see it? Like, do you see the, at least like fragments of this world or this, or the
future? Yeah, all the time. Like when I see it, I see the nature. That's what I see. I see the nature. And I used to think it was LA. And you mentioned LA, and I used to go all the time and stay for a number of weeks. And I was actually planning on moving there in 2019. I went and stayed for a while, and I was doing my visa and everything. But I just had this weird feeling when I was there. And I was like, no, it's not LA. This isn't the one. And then I came to back home and COVID happened. And I'd never appreciated Dubai more in my entire life, because I just felt so safe and protected. And I know a lot of people went through hell during lockdown, but for me, it was like the most amazing time of my life.
So I resonate, like, and I feel like what's interesting about like the work we've done with women, especially, is like, they don't see themselves, like every 10 years, we completely pivot values and make huge career pivots because our priorities change.
For sure. And well done for everything you've done. It's honestly amazing. But I agree with that. I think I'm always reconfiguring my code and understanding, okay, maybe 2 months ago, things that were important to me were XYZ, and now those things aren't as relevant. And so I think it's important to always self-reflect and not just stick to, oh, but I'm a go-getter. Like, maybe you don't want to be, maybe you want to be like a laid-back person. And I think, honestly, I was having this discussion with my sister. We are no longer in a position where we can think for ourselves. So we have to force that, because you get told everything subconsciously through social media. And working in this industry, I see it so much. And literally my talents get paid to do that. Like, wear this brand, buy this lipstick, do this skincare routine. So I see what's happening, and it's part of a, you know, it's on a mass scale. When you look at it like that on a daily basis, and you're just scrolling, and you're just absorbing, okay, so this is what I'm supposed to have. This is what I'm supposed to look like. If I don't have this, then that means I'm not this. And if I don't look like that, then that means I fit into this box. No. And I was discussing it with Nat, because let's say you're dating. Now with social media, it's like, did you ever used to watch Sex and the City?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so same. And that ended in 2006, so 20 plus years ago or whatever. And has it been 20 years? Yeah.
We're so old, Green Stuff.
Yeah, seriously. But not once, for example, in that show, did any of those women say, oh, but what does he, like, you know, what's his Instagram? Like, how many followers does he have? Or how rich is he? Like, what does he do? And now, all of a sudden, it's like, is your boyfriend Travis Scott? Is he like famous? Is he a millionaire? Or is he going to fly you to Mykonos in a helicopter? Like, these things have become the norm, and people have forgotten, I believe, like how valuable it can be to just meet a human being and fall in love with a human being and not look at the extra added like clout benefits. And even as a grown woman, me, myself, to remember that is so difficult, because at one point I was becoming so picky with men and dating. And I was like, no, if he's not like a da da da, I'm not interested. And I'm like, what am I doing? You know, Carrie never did that. Miranda never did that. They were dating whoever would love them at that point, because that's what life is about. It's about like true human connection. But with social media, everything is a comparable to someone's life that you don't even really know. You're just seeing on TV. And obviously, like, the Kardashians have a huge part to play in the fact that social media even exists and influencers exist. And I think they've done an incredible job as businesswomen. But I also think that their effect has had so many downsides to our generation and the future generation, like whether it's like with, you know, immense plastic surgery for no reason, or living a life that is just surrounded by materialism, or whatever the case. But it's not just them, it's all of us and how we absorb it. So we're not innocent in it. We made them famous and we choose what we want to see. And I just think it's important to remind ourselves of, like,
that's like not the real world, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, the real world is like where we are in, and the planet suffering and having to fix that.
Do you ever feel like everybody around you has things figured out when it comes to their career except for you? Do you look at successful people and want to figure out how do they make a living doing what they love? Do you ever feel like what you're learning in school and university is not what you see yourself doing? Welcome to Playbook, where we're trying to change the dynamic and reinvent career progression for women. We want to be with you every step of the way as you navigate the challenges in your journey. We're building a platform that gives you a community and content that also uses the power of storytelling through shared experiences by game-changing women who've shattered the glass ceiling. Join our waiting list and be the first to know when the platform goes live. Get on get-playbook.com to sign up to our newsletter and be the first to pilot our new technology.
I wanted to talk about like the climate stuff, but I wanted to ask you, and the environment, but I wanted to ask you first, before we segue into that, your content, just in line with what we're talking about, which is you see a lot of the stuff that is similar, repetitive, superficial. Sometimes you can get lost in it easily. How do you manage to keep your content effortless? Like, I think that's something I feel differentiates you from a lot of other accounts, which is everyone's going to the same party, they're wearing the same brands, there's a lot of FOMO, like, you know, you have to be kind of invited to that specific space, and there's cliques and groups, but then there's Reem like in her workout clothes still at like 7 p.m. But like, how do you kind of walk your own path?
So Nat, my sister is a huge inspiration to me, because I'm going to cuss, sorry, but she just doesn't give a fuck. Like, she doesn't care. We get invited to a lot of events and I'm like, do you want to go? Shall we go? I think it would be good. She's like, I'm not going. I'm like, okay. She's like, I'm just not going. Like, what am I going for? You know, I'm like, but it's good. Like, we'll go and network with the brand. She's like, if we want to meet the brand, babe, like set up a meeting, I'm not going. You know, her interest and my interest is not to go and socialize with people who aren't my friends. Like, I have barely any free time. I see my girlfriends, who, by the way, have like collectively maybe 1,000 followers on Instagram, and there's like 8 of us. I see them once a week or once every 2 weeks if I'm lucky, and they are my friends and I love them, and they are the women I want to hang out with, and they're the people I love to talk to and share my life with. And industry people, and I'm never going to mention names, because literally I'm not talking about one specific person, I'm talking about the mentality of the industry, is built to be schmoozing and, you know, a little bit of a facade and like air kissing and all of that. What you see in The Devil Wears Prada is what it is. Like, it's a bunch of bullshit, to be completely honest with you. It's not real life. They're not your to me anyway, they're not my friends. So going and partying with them is like, no, like I'm not going to do that. If I have the time and the opportunity, I do something else. So the funny thing is, like, a lot of people probably assume Reem and Natalia didn't get invited, but no way, Reem and Natalia didn't go.
They think this is beneath them.
It's not that it's beneath me, Abadan. Like, no way. I think there are some really cool events and I'm really picky. For example, I work closely with Net-a-Porter and I love that they have like a sustainability edit, and I did something with them last year. They have an iftar this evening. I'm going to go because I want to support. And also the person who does their PR is a close friend of mine. So I pick and choose what's important for me and what I believe is in alignment with me. But going to every single thing I'm invited to, it reduces my value. Firstly, it's not for my career. I'm not doing this as an influencer. So it isn't important for me to be seen at everything. What's important for me is to maintain my relationships, and to attend every single thing means that you're getting too much of me. No one is ever going to get too much of me. You're just going to get enough of me and that's it. Like, I'm not going to give you any more or any less. So it's not a case of it's beneath me. It's just not in alignment with me.
This is huge. Like, this is your anti-FOMO principle. Like, you just kind of shared like a super hack. I don't know if you've realized, but like the world of so much FOMO, and you're like, here's how you just don't fall for it, right? It's like overdoing it and doing it for the wrong reasons reduces my value. That's aha moment.
You know, someone who is one of the biggest inspirations to me as a businesswoman is Hoda Kotb, and I've known her since the beginning. Like, I literally remember Hoda telling me she liked my blog. Like, that's how long I've known her. And then when she launched Hoda Beauty, I was in New York, and this must have been like a year or a few months after. I was in the meatpacking district and I've walked past Sephora, and right by the entrance is this huge thing with a bunch of lashes that say Hoda Beauty. And I literally stop and I'm like, what? Go you. Like, I couldn't believe it. And this is someone who, in my opinion, under the radar, in her sleep, while no one was watching, just got in and got up. And that was it. And do you ever see Hoda at parties? Never. Do you ever see her attend anything? Never. And I always tell my clients, like, you want to be, look, she's not afraid of becoming irrelevant because she doesn't go to someone's like, whatever party. Like, she doesn't care, like, because she is who she is regardless. And I always tell a few of my talents, like, don't feel like you have to do everything. Like, think of what Hoda would do. Would she do this? No. And she's still the most relevant businesswoman on the planet, in my opinion.
Hack number two, what would Hoda do? You're giving me a playbook. This is awesome. What would Hoda do? I'm gonna
say, no, seriously,
I'm more valuable if I'm on my couch. No,
well, I mean, think about it.
Yeah, but like, totally, that makes sense. I love
it. It hasn't,
you know,
it has not depreciated her relevance. Like, she is still super relevant because what she's providing is something outside of what being seen at an event will give her.
This is good. This is
yay.
Good. I mean, I think I'm like, yeah, just, this is really good. This is so eye-opening. Like, your perspective or the filter you wear on how you make decisions, which maybe you take for granted or it happens unconsciously, or maybe it is conscious, but you're teaching us how to be authentic, say no, but like have it serve us and just know when to lean in and when to walk away.
Yeah.
Which I can imagine is probably what you would advise your talent, and you're advising us.
I wanted to also answer your question about how I choose what I post. So honestly, I love taking photos. Like, it's been something I do for the longest time from my blogging days. And if I feel like I look nice, I want to share it, but I also don't want to just post for the sake of posting. So I don't know. I feel like it's not, because at the moment I'm going through a phase where I'm working really hard on my body and I'm understanding the impact it's having on a lot of my audience. So they really like seeing my dedication, and a lot of them message me and say, you know, we see the growth, we see the progression. It's amazing. Keep it up. So if I want to post in a bikini at this stage of my life where I'm still, you know, not a mom yet. I don't know how I'd feel when I become a mother or have a daughter and think about things like that. But my family is comfortable with me posting in a bikini. My dad is always commenting on my pics. Or actually one time I posted in a bikini and he doesn't know how to use Instagram properly. So he commented saying, Shubaba, like, I don't know about this picture. I'm like, Dad, he commented publicly. But then I called him and I'm like, you don't like it? And he said, no, I don't like it. I don't feel like you should post that. So I removed it. Like, whatever my dad is comfortable with, I'm happy posting. Like, people can say whatever they want, but if my dad supports me, then I'm all good with it. So for example, like, I like showing that I'm healthy and that I work out and showing off my body, I guess you could say, a little bit in a bikini. Why the hell not? Like, I'm grinding my ass off. Like, if I feel like I look good, I should be allowed to post that. And then if I take a nice photo of a flower or a sunset and I know it's literally going to get like 300 likes, I don't care. I'll post it anyway. It's not about the likes. For me, it's about you getting an idea of who this person is. When you land on my page, I want you to be like, oh, she seems like she, you know, is conscious and that she trains and she's vegan. Oh, okay, cool. And, you know, she likes color and things like that. So for me, it's just about allowing you to get an idea or a tiny glimpse into who I am, basically.
So that's kind of your intention when you post. It's like, this is who I am. Yeah. And these are moments, like, from my perspective, I guess, or like, this is like, are you wanting, what, like, is your intention for everybody to kind of meet you and just see things from your perspective?
I guess so. Like, see the world from my eyes. Like, I don't care about brands. I like them, but I don't care about them. Like, you want to buy me a Chanel bag, please go for it. But I'm not going to like promote that every day. That isn't what I'm here for. I like natural things, but it also doesn't mean that I'm not in denial about maybe wanting to enhance myself with like a little bit of Botox. Doesn't mean I'm not a natural, pro-natural person. So it's just balance. I don't know, I guess it's
balance, dream, and very,
yeah, exactly,
it's balanced and like human and rooted, and it's like, it's just like what sits well with you on that day, like very intuitive, let's say. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like that's, you're like, this is how I feel right now, and this is what's making me feel good. So here you go. This,
yeah,
is, you know, what I'm going through. So there is no like formula. So I don't see you like doing specific things over and over again. I just, mm-hmm, see you constantly changing and evolving, which brings me to your relationship with your body. I've never seen you look, I want to say fit, but I also want to say thin, but I know that you're strong, but you know, what's happening to you on a physical level? Like, how are you changing? And I know you did a post recently where you were super vulnerable saying that you had a mini meltdown in the gym and you've been up on yourself. So what's happening there?
Okay. So I've always been into fitness. I think ever since I did my half marathon with Nike in 2013, I've been like into it. Like, I've always been into it, but I agree with you. I don't think I've ever looked the way I look now, even when I thought I looked my best, let's say when I was getting married a few years, like whenever that was, 2016, I thought I looked my best then. And my sister always tells me, you've never looked this good, so just take it easy. But for me, it's not about how I look. It's always been about strength. I manifest and I save things where women are like doing push-ups and they're able to do pull-ups and they're boxing and they're fighting. And for me, strength is everything. So it's easy to kind of starve yourself and get skinny. Like, you could do that. Anyone could do that, but it'd be the dumbest thing you ever do. So I know I could have done that, but I didn't want to. I wanted to build strength. And actually, my mom was here visiting for a few weeks and we kept getting into arguments because she's like, you're too skinny. Like, you're not, like, stop going to the gym. I was like, Mama, I am not skinny. I could literally bench press you. Like, I am really strong. And it took her ages to understand, like, this isn't about me being skinny. I'm actually eating more calories than I've ever eaten in my whole life because I was really on a deficit before and I didn't even realize this. Yeah.
But I love that you're manifesting, like, you're talking about manifestation of your family. And I feel like when you close your eyes, sometimes you do see like the family, and you see, like, that's, I think, always been evident in your life. And you talk about it. And I love that you hope that for yourself and you manifest that and you put effort and energy in getting there as well, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I also wanted to say, like, the theme of self-worth has been huge on this episode. I think one thing I've learned a lot just by talking to you is this incredible mastery and quest that you have for developing, cultivating self-worth, and then how that's evident in like all aspects of your life. So how you run your business, how you date, and also like how you take care of your body. You just have a lot of respect for yourself and like a lot of self-love. And I'm sure there are days where it's there evidently, and there are days where it's maybe not there so much and you're being super tough on yourself. But overall, I think the art of developing that, or just being mindful that this is something you should have and it's good for you, is something I learned from today's interview.
Good. I'm so happy. Thank you.
I feel I can talk to you forever, by the way, much of your time, but I wanted to end with my favorite question, which we ask at the end of every podcast episode, which is, what do you feel is your superpower?
Okay. So I'm going to answer this by giving a teeny tiny backstory. I genuinely feel like everyone who loves me, who's in my life and who I love dearly, can't really handle it when I'm anything but happy from within. They know when I'm faking a smile just to walk into the room and pretend like everything's okay. And they don't like that. So I feel like my superpower is genuinely adding joy to my friends and family's life and day. Because when I notice that when I can't physically, mentally, emotionally, that there's a missing element in our dynamic. So I'm happy and proud to say that. I feel like my energy and my mom calls it my sunshine, like that element that I add to someone, especially the people who know me the most, I would say that's my superpower.
That's it for this week. Thank you for listening to an episode of the Woman Power Podcast. And thank you for downloading and streaming our podcast every week. If you love what you've heard, tag us on Instagram and follow the Woman Power Podcast and Woman Power Summit account for more information on our next episode. Please leave a rating review wherever you get your podcast. It really helps other women discover the show. That's it from me. See you next week.